From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of May 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, lawyers to the EU say it would be legal to label products derived from cloned animals. The congressional delegation from New York thinks a CFTC proposal will limit the ability of U.S. banks to compete on the world stage. And John Deere has posted a higher-than-expected quarterly profit. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories, and then I'll tell you about some work from the Illinois Ag Economist and the Farm Doc team that suggests a corn farm covered by 85% crop insurance can hedge just 10% of the expected yield and nearly eliminate the risk of making less than $850 an acre. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day sharply higher. July soft red winter wheat at $8.17, up 53. September in Chicago at $8.58.5, up 51 and a quarter. The spring up 60 cents at $9.96 and a quarter for the July from Minneapolis. And in Kansas City, July hard red at $9.38, finished the wheat 43.5 cents higher. July corn at $7.49.75, trading in Chicago at the end of the day, 29.5 cents higher. September at $7.17.5, up 24.75. December $6.72.75, up 19.5. In the March, $6.82.25, up 18.75. May futures $6.89.25, up 18.25 for next year. July soybeans $13.79.5, up 38.5. The August at $13.72.75. Up 36.5, September 13.63, 34.75 higher, in November beans 13.53.25, up 32.75. The January of next year at 13.62.5, 32 cents higher. July bean meal finished $3.61, up $10.60. July bean oil at $57.30, up $1.26. Mercantile Exchange finished the August live cattle at $109.17.5, down 12.5 cents. The August feeders at $128.00, down $1.92.5, and the July lean hogs down $1.47.5 at $91.55 per 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil finished the June contract, trading still actually at $99.66 a barrel, up $2.75. Ethanol at $2.64.8, up 6.4. Natural gas at $4.19.7, up $0.015. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 5.4 cents higher at $2.89.09. The gold futures finished the May contract $15.80 higher. The settlement price at $1,495.60 a troy ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,536, just about 57 points higher. The dollar at 75.48, up 0.08. And the CRB index at 344.21, up 7.73 on this Wednesday afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For this afternoon, scattered showers in the Urbana-Champaign area. Cloudy, a high near 63 degrees. North-northeast winds at 8 miles an hour. Chance of precip set at 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 49. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high of 72. Calm winds. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 54. And Friday, partly sunny, a high near 78 degrees. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers returns. A few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy on Friday evening, a low of 62 degrees. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy, a high near 77. Chance of precip set at 60% in the Urbana-Champaign area. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 64. And Sunday should show us mostly sunny skies, the high of 81 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 65. Monday, sunny and 80. Monday night, cloudy and 61. And Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Next week, mostly cloudy, a high near 71 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul. I am told that the money just rolled into Chicago today from both sides of the trading, the speculators and the commercials. What do you think was the impetus that managed that?
Well, it was a two-edged sword. It was a considerably wetter forecast for two areas, the upper Midwest and the southern part of Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky, Tennessee, and the south. That was one edge of the sword. And then the Lynn Group came out and said that, in their opinion, there'd be 89.5 million acres of corn and also 75.1 million acres of soybeans. And that's a considerable drop in the planted acreage. And, of course, when we talk to our friends in the Dakotas, they basically say shorter season corn. There will be probably less wheat planted, more beans, and they're hoping to plant corn. We do hear and remember Emerson Nefsinger's idea of late-planted corn. There's a yield drop, and the other one is, I call it the 10th wonder of the world. These large planters pull in the field, they pull out of the field, and they're like a ghost. They disappear pretty quick, and there is a lot of planting going on in the Midwest today.
Well, so the question is, when you look at this, can this kind of rally be sustained at the higher levels? And I don't mean the rally tomorrow or the next day, but can you manage to stay at these higher levels with corn?
Well, it's been popular the last 2 weeks when I listened to the big money people on CNBC and the Bloomberg group that it's quite popular to badmouth commodities. And, of course, we did see a big turnaround in crude oil, gold and silver, and, of course, the stock market's acting better as well. That's problem number one. And problem number two is we did have people that call up and said we still have an inventory, a hefty inventory of old crop corn, and what should we do? And, of course, when rule one is if I ever have a bad trade, a good trade on, and it turns bad and it comes back good, Paul Cooley's exit strategy is immediate. Other people feel that there's more left in it, but my opinion is that with these heavy rains forecasted, the day before the heavy rains arrive, I'd use that as an exit strategy. The trouble with soybeans, and this is where this preventive planting idea is that with old crop soybeans, beans are a hard sell in the world, and there could even be more acreage show up, in my opinion.
All right, so let's see. We're selling old crop corn if you've got any in the bin because it went against you, and you say now's the time, and you've got to.
I would say between now and next Tuesday, Wednesday is the time frame. And the reason I say that is that I'm sure these weather forecasters will still talk about this big rainfall event that will haunt the Midwest, and particularly that Dakota area where the government, you know, basically talks about a lot of corn acres, and if those that get planted as well as spring wheat, that's one reason why we did see the tremendous rally in wheat and corn today.
We'd be amiss if we didn't mention that $6.76 high isn't very off the $6.84 high in the December corn contract. That's the life of contract high. Will they try to push through that tonight and tomorrow?
I think it depends on what the private meteorologist says at 4:45 or, you know, 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you'll know the answer to that one pretty quick.
You know, it's not a fair question, and I know.
But that's the reason why, you know, that people get up awful early and watch the market, you know, on a weather market like this. You know, our best, you know, noon model was it was a little drier, but the word little was used.
All right. And then you talked to many folks out in the Ohio area. And
it's kind of rough over there. And so, you know, that is the focus area. There, you know, they know how to sharpen a pencil just like everybody else, and you know, they will act according and plant as quick as possible. My only haunting fear here is if it's too wet, it usually turns too dry, and that's I remember that too well through the number of years I've marched down that road.
Indeed. Anything else you want to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too, Paul. Thank you. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report posted not long after we aired on our radio stations. Our Commodity Week program, the flagship of the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. It's a weekly. And then, of course, a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. And if you're not on that one, it's free. It's really good, and you should do it now. That's on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Now, here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, lawyers advising the European Union's Council of Ministers say that labeling food from the offspring of cloned animals would be in line with World Trade Organization rules, and that even an EU ban on such products could pass muster. The opinion, written by the EU's Council Legal Services, concludes that all options relating to cloned animals currently under consideration entails risks as far as their compatibility with the WTO rules is concerned. However, the Legal Services Agency goes on to say just how the EU could justify any of the three options and satisfy the requirements of the WTO. The New York congressional delegation has sent a letter to Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke saying that a new proposal from U.S. regulators for cracking down on the derivatives market will make U.S. firms less competitive with their international rivals. The lawmakers argued that without comparable rules in other countries, U.S. banks will lose business. Last month, U.S. banking regulators and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission released proposals that lay out margin requirements for end users and major swap dealers. The idea is that banks and speculative traders should have to post collateral when engaging in risky customized derivative trades. Deere & Company, the world's number one maker of farm equipment, today reported a higher-than-expected quarterly profit helped by demand for large machinery in North and South America, better pricing, and a weak U.S. dollar. Deere's net earnings jumped 65% to $904.3 million, or $2.12 per share in the fiscal second quarter ending April 30th. From $547.5 million, or $1.28 per share a year earlier. Total revenue rose 25% to $8.91 billion. International machinery sales rose 27%. Deere said sales of large farm machinery were strong in the U.S., Canada, and Brazil. And barges hauling freight down the Mississippi River, including grain, are moving at the slowest possible speed on the Mississippi due to flooding problems. Wakes generated by passing barge traffic could increase the strain on levees designed to hold back the river. The river is expected to stay high in some places for weeks. Such interruptions could cost the U.S. economy hundreds of millions of dollars for every day of idled barges as a toll from the weeks of Mississippi flooding continues to escalate. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear anytime you'd like off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. In studio with us today, Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist in the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. He just penned a brand new FEFO, that's a Farm Economics Facts and Opinion piece, for the FarmDoc website entitled Will Pricing 2011 Corn Now Reduce Downside Revenue Risk? Gary, thank you so much for taking the time. Most producers and landowners look at their crop insurance decisions sometimes as part of their risk management decision for pricing their crops, a put in general. This is something you were trying to address, I think, in this particular FEFO. Why did you take a look at it?
No, that's correct. We wanted to look at the combination of crop insurance and marketing. Most farmers have purchased their crop insurance. And most of them have purchased somewhere in the 80 to 85% level, coverage level of revenue protection. So we wanted to see if you could get any additional risk protection by hedging grain now, because that's the decision that we face right now.
Tell me about the benchmark you used.
We looked at benchmarks of $8.50, $7.50, and $6.50 per acre of revenue. So what we wanted to project was how often revenue would be below that $8.50 benchmark given crop revenue and crop insurance payments, given what you've done marketing-wise. One important to note here is that this was for a Illinois farm with a 184 bushel average yield and about $6 price right now for corn. It's looking at something around $1,000 of expected revenue.
For lack of a better term, the check you use on this, relatively speaking, was that revenue without a crop insurance portion to it. How did it work?
That's right. Without crop insurance, we would project right now there's still a 32% chance of revenue being below $8.50. And if you did some hedging, you could reduce that to about a 12% chance of having revenue below $8.50. And that occurs with something around 60% of expected production hedged.
And then there is a difference once you start to throw crop insurance into the mix.
As you throw crop insurance into the mix, where you lower that chance of being below 850 goes down, or less hedging is needed to get to that point. At an 85% coverage level, for example, the highest, it only requires about 10% of hedging to reduce the probability at the 850 down to its lowest, which in that case happens to be 0%.
Wow, that's really incredible that you can reduce risk that much or almost completely at that point by just hedging 10% of the crop?
Given that you purchased crop insurance and the combination of the crop insurance and the marketing alternative will provide very good risk protection right now.
And if you were not at 85, but rather at 75 or 65% coverage?
75%, you'd have to hedge about 20%, and 65%, it'd be somewhere in the 40% range, looking at that $850 benchmark revenue.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's Gary Schnitke. He's a farm management specialist in the College of ACES and works with the FarmDoc team. You can find his research on the FarmDoc websites. One of them is farmdoc.illinois.edu. The other is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Normally at this time, we take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets with the Andersons at Delphi, Indiana, if all goes well today. We'll actually talk with Roy Huckabee. He's with the Lynn Group in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Roy. How are you? Let me see if I can bring him back. Roy, are you with me? Well, let me try him one more time.
Happy Wednesday.
Oh, there you go. How are you?
Happy Wednesday. Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, good. Well, so Here's the point, I guess, and I'll say thank you to Tara Oliver, who was waiting patiently, actually, on the other line. She is with the Andersons and would have been here for the cash grain market. But you and the folks at the Lynn Group moved the market just a little bit today by some numbers you released earlier, taking a look at acreage in the United States. Can you tell me what they were?
Well, we reduced our corn acres to 89.5, and it's kind of a convoluted way that we go about doing that, but that's down from 92.2 that the USDA used in their March intentions. It's actually shows an increase in corn acres in the western states. I think in Iowa and Nebraska, we're up about 700,000 acres, and that, of course, comes out of beans. But in the east, when you get into Ohio and Indiana and the eastern edge of Illinois, we've got so many people that haven't even turned a wheel, and I think the forecast looks pretty wet for the next 2 or 3 weeks, so I'm not sure exactly how we get that crop put in the ground. And I think people are becoming used to the insurance program, as your previous speaker talked, about the coverage that the insurance program gives a farmer today. I know the revenue aspects of the insurance program, but buried in that program is a prevent plant issue. And this year with corn at 601 for your price guarantee, it leads to 550, 525. I even got some guys at a $6 indemnity payment if they don't get corn planted by June 6th. And so what I see is with the problems getting corn planted in the east, typically in the past, if you didn't get corn planted by early June, you'd go plant beans. Well, in today's environment, you might not go plant beans, and what it does is it just takes your corn acres down and doesn't add to beans, which is what many people have been thinking for the last couple of weeks. Our bean acres are actually down 1.5 million also at 75.1. That's down from the USDA's March intentions of 76.6.
So when you put all of that together and you try to think about what it might mean for prices in Chicago, for cash grain basis, I would think, in the eastern Corn Belt in particular, what do you find?
Well, when you and I were together earlier this year, we talked about the fact that we didn't have any cushion. We didn't have the ability to offset any reduced production in the new crop. We needed a big increase in acres. At one time, we were talking about as much as 94 million acres because the revenue from corn was so much bigger than anything else, right?
Correct.
In today's environment, we have no idea what the yields are going to be, and I think that there's some people that would tell you that they're going to be less than the trend line, but we don't know. It depends on what the summer weather is. But I know that without having 92 or 93 million acres of corn, whatever your production is, we're going to use it all because we're going to produce less than what we want to use. So whatever your carryout is this year, it's going to stay tight next year too. And we'll see what Anderson says about basis levels, but I hear some horror stories with people that need to buy corn, and there's nothing for sale. We've seen rail trade at 35 over Track, Ohio. We've seen ethanol plants pay 40 over, 50 over, even some talk of 60 over. So really big numbers.
Roy, thank you so much. Roy Huckabee is with the Lynn Group, joined us on short notice here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
It's National Cheese Soufflé Day. It's also Rooster Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1808, Elijah Craig died, a Baptist minister in Kentucky. He was an important figure in the invention of bourbon whiskey. He ran a paper mill and started a distillery in 1789. Legend credits him with being the first to use new charred oak barrels to age corn whiskey, which is a key step in making bourbon. In 1824, Wilhelm Hofmeister was born, a German botanist. He discerned the regular alternation of sexual and asexual generations in plants, which is the basis for the explanation of the life cycle in all known plants. In 1875, Robert Horton was born. an American hydraulic engineer, he is considered the father of modern hydrology. His studies established a basis for the analysis of soil erosion that enabled strategies for soil conservation. In 1935, Alan Burns was born. He was the creator of the character Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch for Quaker Oats Captain Crunch breakfast cereal. And in 2001, Hong Kong ordered more than 1 million chickens and other poultry killed to halt the spread of a bird flu epidemic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner is on the phone line from Kansas City. He's with World Weather Incorporated, and he'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, yesterday I saw the clouds roll in from the east, but we didn't really get wet. I suspect the folks to the east of us in the Corn Belt weren't nearly as lucky. Can you start there, please?
Yes, we're still seeing some showers on the backside of an upper-level low-pressure system that's still hanging out in the Middle Atlantic region. And those showers will continue to pop up in the afternoon instability, both this afternoon and again tomorrow. And we'll finally get this thing out of the way. It seems like it's been forever, but showers will still linger. Most of the precipitation that occurs over these next 2 days will be very brief and light and should not have a lasting impact other than the fact that it's just prolonging our field access delay.
And once it moves out, what happens?
Well, we will see a brief hole where it's actually going to be dry for maybe 24 hours, maybe 48 hours. That's as good as it's going to get for some of these areas in Ohio and Michigan, and then the rains will come back in. Now, for the rest of the Midwest, the rain will already be coming back across the Missouri River as we go into the day tomorrow out in the far western Corn Belt, and we'll see rain and thunderstorms becoming more widespread on the west side of the Mississippi as we go Friday into Saturday, and eventually this precipitation will work its way into Illinois probably by the time we get to Saturday morning, and we'll see the precipitation overrun most of the eastern Midwest as we go on through the weekend and into Monday, possibly Tuesday as well. Unfortunately, there is another storm system that will form in the central plains as we get into the early part of next week, and it's going to march right across the heart of the Midwest again as we go through the middle part of next week, producing another wave of significant rains. So field work in places like Ohio and Michigan is just not likely to advance very well at all over the next full week. The rest of the Midwest, though, will probably see some field work. I think Illinois, Iowa, parts of Indiana, as well as Minnesota and Wisconsin, even Missouri to a certain degree, will have some field work over the next couple of days, and then conditions will deteriorate thereafter.
I hate to look out this far, but you've got me to the 27th, 8th, or 9th thereabouts of May. What about the first week of June? Do we start to dry out anytime soon?
Well, I think we will make a really good college try at doing that. I think there's a pretty significant little cool pocket that will drop into the region during the very last days of May and very first part of June. The problem, the thing that bothers me more than anything else is that every time we get one of these cool air masses of significance, it does a real good job of clearing us out and drying us out for a brief period. But because the air mass temperatures are so different from the air around it, it ends up setting the stage for more rain as the warmer air overruns into the colder air mass, and we've seen this over and over again this spring, and I'm afraid we're going to do it again just a little later in the first week of June. So I'm not totally convinced that we're going to see any kind of prolonged period of drying for a while. Now, I'm sure that something will change sometime around here, and we'll get 4 or 5 days of decent weather and maybe a nice warming trend, but I couldn't tell you right now that that was for sure going to happen during that particular time frame.
Drew, thank you so much.
Have a great afternoon.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. That's this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.